Good evening and welcome to City Visions. I'm your host, Joseph Pace. Are you home for the holidays? Well, lucky you. Tonight, we'll be talking about all the fun things to do in the Bay Area over the next couple of weeks. If you have friends or family in town, or kids home from school, you'll want to hear about all the goings-on, live music, concerts, great new restaurants and bars, and all those uniquely San Francisco places to visit over the holidays, no matter what the size of your budget. We have a terrific lineup of experts in the studio tonight to help guide you in your planning. You thought, you know, the stress of the holidays was over as you wrap those last presents? Well, what to do after the holidays is what we're going to be talking about. How do you keep everyone entertained and engaged as they spend time with you here in San Francisco and the Bay Area? So we start with Jill Bork, founder and CEO of Rush Tix, an experience membership company that uses personal curation to help people discover events they'll love. She's also a stand-up comedian and theater creator. Welcome, Jill.
Nice to be here.
Johnny Hayes is also joining us. He's also known as Johnny Funcheap, Bay Area bargain guru and founder of FuncheapSF.com. Welcome, Johnny.
Thank you.
Jill Robinson is here. She's a travel writer and co-author of 100 Things to Do in San Francisco Before You Die. Welcome, Jill.
Thank you very much.
And finally, we're joined by Lisa Roggevin. She's founder and CEO of Edible Excursions, a Bay Area food tour company. Welcome, Lisa.
Thanks for having me.
And of course, we'll invite you, our listeners, to join our conversation in about 20 minutes. I'll give you that phone number now. It's toll-free at 1-866-798-TALK. Again, that's 866-798-8255. You can also email us now at cityvisions@kalw.org or follow us on Twitter at City Visions KALW. So before we start to get into your suggestions about what to do, I wanted to get a take from each of you in turn about what you love so much about San Francisco. What maybe drew you here? What kept you here? You know, what is it that makes you all so specifically interested in curating experiences for others, whether they're locals or visitors? Why don't we start with you, Jill Robinson?
Well, I'm a Bay Area native, so born and raised, but especially when I was a kid, and I think this is carried through to adulthood, that I was truly convinced that Sesame Street was somewhere in San Francisco just because of the magic nature of the city and what that show was to me as a child. And I really think that just the magical nature, the fact that it's so very different as a city in the U.S., and so I like to illustrate that for other people.
Great. Johnny.
Well, I'm originally from Los Angeles, if you can try not to hold that against me. But I moved up here, and I just loved the fact that you have so much culture in such a tiny area, 7 miles by 7 miles, and that the city seems to draw people moving here who have art in their blood, performance in their blood, and just want to express themselves. And I've just seen things and experienced art and culture that I've just never thought was even possible. And everybody seems to want to share it in the Bay Area. And I love that.
Jill Bork.
Well, let's see. I grew up in the East Bay in Castro Valley. And even though I was here in the Bay Area, San Francisco was always this other magical, like, Oz place. And coming here as a kid and as a teenager, it was a big deal going to the city. And what I love about San Francisco is San Franciscans. Whether they're in the arts or not, they're creative. They're willing to take risks. And that's why we have such a vibrant arts and culture.
And finally, Lisa.
I've lived in San Francisco for over 30 years now. I came out while I was in college. I'm originally from New York, and I would say it's the flavors of San Francisco. San Francisco, people who live here are mixed from all over. We have people from all over the world, all over the country, and they've brought their flavors with them. So whether you're eating in the Mission District or going to have, you know, something, you know, off of Fisherman's Wharf, have some fresh seafood, you're getting a San Francisco's finest cuisine in different neighborhoods.
Now, we've talked a lot about San Francisco, and that makes a lot of sense for the reasons you've already said. But how has the rest of the Bay Area, specifically the East Bay, but, you know, the North Bay Peninsula, how has that figured into your sense of what there is to do out there? Is it really just San Francisco we're talking about here, or should we invite our listeners to venture to other parts of the Bay Area if they're trying to find some of these flavorful, magical, creative spaces to be in?
Absolutely. We're all so close together. It's San Francisco, Oakland, everywhere in the East Bay is just hop on the BART and you're there in 30 minutes. I know most San Franciscans don't want to get on that BART to go over to the East Bay to have an experience, but there are fantastic, speaking from a culinary standpoint, I would say the East Bay rivals San Francisco's cuisine. And I say that lovingly because I love my San Francisco culinary attractions, but I want businesses to thrive and I want locals to support businesses. And so, yeah, I'd like people to be here in the city and like them to go afar.
Others?
The one thing I can talk about here is like for the ice rinks that are happening this year. So, you know, I think San Francisco gets a lot of the publicity about the ones that they have, say, in Union Square. But there's tons of outdoor ice rinks that are popping up all over the Bay Area and some things that you just can't even get in San Francisco. So, for example, in Palo Alto, they have the Winter Lodge, which has been doing an outdoor ice rink since 1956. And they have gorgeous fireplaces, both inside and outside, set up in a little patio area. So it's really like a great lodge feel. And you just don't get that in the city. And Outside Magazine had ranked Palo Alto's Winter Lodge as one of the top 10 outdoor ice rink experiences in the whole United States. And then looking at San Mateo in Central Park, they have an ice rink that's 9,000 square feet. Where are you going to put that in San Francisco? You just can't. We have great experiences too. Winter Park, right in front of Civic Center, is brand new for 2018, and they have quite a different experience. They actually have a 400-foot skating track that weaves through a lighted tree forest, and it's really beautiful. And you see almost as many people taking photos of people going through that skated light forest than you see actual people skating to it. So just all over the Bay, you're getting these great experiences, and San Jose has an amazing one where you have 32 palm trees and you're skating around it. So I encourage people to go to all the outdoor ice rinks all over the Bay Area. Don't just stick with SF.
Great. So I want to hear a little bit more about the particular work that you do or the writing that you do about San Francisco, because I think it'll say a lot about what people can learn about in terms of exploring it. Jill Bork, I wanted to ask you to tell us a little bit about Rush Ticks, because in a day and age where people are looking for unusual, very specific things that meet their particular tastes or needs, your company really goes there, curates experiences for people who come to you. Tell us a little bit more about that experience, and can people still kind of get something curated at this stage of the game a week out from the holiday?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So Rush Ticks is an experience membership. What's sort of unique about it is that we have a team of curators who have specialties, whether it's food and wine or music or a theater. And their job is to go out and find all of these unique experiences. And then we go out to those presenters and we make deals for our members so they can go at an affordable rate. Yes, there's lots of things still happening, still available for the holidays. I would also say that now's a great time to start thinking about New Year's Eve. We have 12 events right on Rush Ticks at the moment, whether it's from smaller parties to big extravaganzas, and whatever you're in the mood for, perhaps something at Fort Mason. There's iHeart New Year's Eve, which is a huge, huge party, but also smaller things like at the Cat Club, which is an 80s club right here over in the Mission, which is a really fun night.
And so with that in mind, Rush Ticks, is it kind of like a way to get discounted prices into access to things that might otherwise be out of people's budget? How does it work?
Yeah, let me tell you how it works. So we're a community. So when you join, you become a member of the community, and your membership fee gives you tokens each month. You can use those tokens to go to events. You can also earn tokens by contributing to the community. So if you're involved in curation or helping out other members out, you earn tokens. So it really is a like a a way to participate. And we do negotiate great rates for our members. You can save anywhere from 20 to 90% off on events because as a group, we have buying power. So that allows us to get better deals for our members.
So this is like a crowdsourced recreation, basically.
Exactly.
All right. So that's that sounds 20 to 90% off sounds really great, but some people want free. That's where you come in.
Hello.
Hi, Johnny Hayes, a.k.a. Johnny Fun Cheap. So tell us how you got to doing this kind of work.
Well, I moved up to San Francisco from Los Angeles in 2001, right before 9/11. I had no idea, obviously, that was going to happen. Had no idea the economy was going to go into the toilet. And so I came up here and couldn't find any work. And one person who convinced me to move to San Francisco, she moved away. So I was bored and lonely and broke and sitting in my own apartment just biding time. So I started putting together a list just for myself to know what were the free concerts that were taking place at Amoeba Music Store, what were the free movie nights, what were the free museum days. And then one day I put that list out on Craigslist and I got 100 responses back. Next week I did it, 100 responses back. Next week, same thing. And that's how I, by accident, grew this community.
Wow. So it sounds necessity, the mother of mm-hmm. invention in this case. And then Jill Robinson, tell us how you came to write 100 Things to Do in San Francisco Before You Die.
Well, the title exists for many cities in the U.S. with different authors. My co-author, Kimberly Lovato, and I worked together on it and divided up the sections based on what we especially prefer. And it was, I think the hardest part about the entire book was just the table of contents, because there are far more than 100 things to do in San Francisco that are worthwhile. And so we had to leave some things out, but ultimately, we kind of crammed more in. So even on each point, we have other suggestions that we've kind of added in there to enhance the experience.
And Lisa Roggeman, I can't imagine how you curate food experience in a place that has so many food options. So let's actually move into food as a next part of our conversation. Tell us about Edible Excursions and how you come up with your list and some suggestions you might have for people who are looking to give themselves or people from out of town coming in some different culinary experiences than what might be on the traditional dinner table.
Yeah. The way I curate experiences in San Francisco is I eat a lot. I bring my kids with me because they eat a lot too, and we can, anytime anyone goes out to eat with me, they can't believe how much I order, but you have to eat your way through a menu to really understand what the offering is. I think about neighborhoods first and where can we walk? Where can my guests spend 3 hours eating seven to nine different places? I want there to be an interesting story. I want there to be a narrative, some history that's interesting to locals, to visitors. I want people to try new places. It's great to go to a restaurant, but that's one dining experience. You come on a food tour, and not only are you meeting new people and you're learning history about a neighborhood, but you're going to 7 to 9 different restaurants, and then you're getting information about maybe 12 more restaurants in the neighborhood so that you can go back and visit on your own. When I first started the company 15 years ago, I thought it was for a tourist. I thought my customer was going to be a visitor. And we do get visitors, and we love visitors. And when the locals are tired of their guests, they send them on an edible excursion so they have something to do, so they could get out of their house for a little while. But I have found that 85% of my customers are people who live here. We just don't have a lot of time. We don't go out to eat as much as we would like to. We can't check off those 8 to 10 new restaurants we heard about just in 1 week. So coming on a tour, it's unique, it's original, it's different. It's just not like going to one restaurant. So there's a lot of ways that I think about how to put together a culinary experience, whether it be in Japantown or in the Mission District or the Ferry Building, which was my first tour 15 years ago. Anybody could walk into that place. You don't need a tour, right? But you're going to have so much more of a deeper experience. If you come on a tour, you're going to learn stories about the business owners and what inspired them and what makes California cuisine unique and how it got its name. And there's just so much more that you can't find out on your or won't spend the time to find out on your own. And a lot of our customers work 5 blocks away or 2 blocks away from the Ferry Building, and then they'll come on a tour of the Ferry Building with us, and they're amazed that they didn't even know anything about what was going on in the Ferry Building.
So you mentioned the Ferry Building tour. Tell us about some other tours that are either particularly popular or that are perhaps kind of underappreciated that people may want to venture out for.
People ask me which is my favorite tour. We have about 13 tours now, and I always say that's like asking me which is my favorite child. I have 2 children, and I love them both equally. Matthew and Livia, who are listening right now, I do. And so they're all unique in their own way. If you're San Francisco's Chinatown is really popular, but who's been to Japantown? And if you have been to Japantown, what do you know about Japantown? The culture there keeps everything pretty close to the vest and is conservative. So if you don't learn about the stories of those locals that live in Japantown or are in their fourth generation of living in Japantown, you miss a lot of that experience. So I highly recommend the Japantown tour. The Gourmet Ghetto tour, where Chez Panisse is located and the Cheese Board over there in North Berkeley, it was our second tour. So it's been going on for about 10 years now. And the Cheese Board's an institution. That's nothing new. But to get into the kitchen of the Cheese Board, that's a challenge. And they have welcomed us into the kitchen on a tour and to learn about what a collective is and how it operates in the world we live in now, where we're often part of corporate organizations. Here we, all of us on the panel, we've decided to take a different path, but a lot of people are in that corporate world, and collectivism is so unique. To learn from a member owner of a collective and eat their pizza and eat their bread that has a starter since 1968, that's been alive since 1968. There's just something special about getting that close to food and the stories behind the food.
And when it comes to groups of people, who would be a good group for your tours? Is it a large group? Is it a multi-generational group? Small?
Yes. Seriously, yeah. Everybody is a customer. If you don't like food, then give a gift certificate for the holidays to your father who loves food or something to that effect. But corporate groups, private families that want to do something, get out of the house and exercise a bit and walk around, they take tours. So 12, 14, 16 in a group is no problem for us. We have done larger groups because I have a team of 16 tour guides, and we can break everybody up into a smaller rate guide to guest ratio of 1 to 12 to 14 guests.
Great. So let's stay with food and restaurants. Jill, how many of the 100 things that you have to do before you die in SF have to do with food?
Most of them. No, not more than 50. But seriously, that's our largest section. So I would say I think we have the first 25 is food and drink. Mm.
So tell us, how did you pick those 25? Because I imagine the experience can vary not only by cuisine and location, but also by sticker.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that we had to consider with the book is we wanted to make sure it wasn't just a book for tourists,
that it was also a book for locals. And so we had to think about, you know, those standard wonderful places like Zuni, or perhaps, you know, getting the clam chowder in a bread bowl at Fisherman's Wharf, which is often a tourist tradition, but something that some locals still really love to do. Little hidden places that people may not know about, like the tequila bar at Tommy's Mexican Restaurant that has a major, major kind of history with introduction of good tequila and education of people with regard to the benefit of tequila as opposed to just the thing that you're going to slam to get drunk. That's a denomination of origin spirit. And so that's something that even a lot of locals don't know. So we had to kind of divvy it up a little bit so that we made sure that we appealed to everybody.
Great. And say more about the tequila.
Oh, yeah. So, well, at Tommy's Mexican Restaurant, which is on Geary, it's not Tommy's Joint, which is a different, also nice place to go. But the family has been there for a very long time. And so one of the family members, Julio, decided that he wanted to make sure that people understood that tequila is a denomination of origin spirit. There's certain growing areas. You can only use a certain plant. You can only do distillation in a certain way, much like cognac or other denomination of origin spirits. And so he put together an education program so that people could understand all of those pieces and be able to make decisions about, oh, I like this taste. And so this taste means that I will like these types of things. And so that allows people to make better choices and, of course, come and drink more tequila.
Wow. Well, that sounds pretty good. And Johnny, Johnny Hayes of FunCheapSF.com, when it comes to free food, is there anything that makes your list here?
Well, kind of go in food in a different direction. There's a really great organization called Feed Mob. You remember flash mobs were kind of fun for a while. Well, this is called Feed Mob. And what this is it's done sort of specifically around the holidays. And it's to bring a bunch of people together to actually make a positive change for the holidays. So they meet on Saturday night on December 22nd, which is coming up in not too far away, at Civic Center. And so instead of a boring flash mob, everybody brings a warm dish to share and serves it, helps, put up the event, tear down the event. So that's really the thing that really struck to me about food for the holidays. And they're always looking for volunteers. It's called Feed Mob SF.
And how do they pick the location?
I think it's typically in Civic Center because that's okay. Really just an area of need in San Francisco. So that's a great way that you can, you know, really be involved in helping make San Francisco and the Bay Area a better place.
Great. And then, Jill Bork, if one was a tourist or one was a local and wanted to have an experience of touristy things to eat here in San Francisco, how would you sort of put that together for somebody? Where would you send people?
Well, just to clarify, we focus on live performance and events. Oops. That you attend. But I'm just going to go ahead and chime in because as someone who's lived here a long time, I'd say, especially this time of year, for that San Francisco feel, I think Tadich's downtown just is such a great experience for anyone, whether you're a tourist or a local, to get that, like, you know, yummy. They have just delicious cuisine, and it's a very San Francisco feel. But I would say, if we are talking about food and wine, and we're talking about events and the value you can get, there are several New Year's Eve events that do have open bars, which can be a little tricky because people can get a little bit overserved. But if you're interested, I could tell you about some of the ones that we have on RushTix that people may be interested in.
Go ahead.
Okay. So as I had mentioned before, at Fort Mason, there's the event iHeart and New Year's Eve with Miguel, and it's an open bar, silent disco, and more. Also, we have the New Year's Eve 2019 premium-hosted open bar at Hugh SF. And the Tomorrow Never Dies James Bond New Year's Eve party, which should be fun, over at the Bond Bar.
Okay. Well, great. Well, let me reintroduce the program. This is City Visions on local public radio, 91.7 KALW San Francisco, and on the web at KALW.org. I'm Joseph Pache. And tonight we're talking about fun things to do in San Francisco and the Bay Area in the holiday period that's upon us, or I guess any time of year. So what's your favorite place to take friends from out of town, or what events coming up over the holidays are you excited to attend? Or if you're just going to be a staycationer and not have any people in town, what kinds of things do you like to do to reconnect with the Bay Area and all it has to offer? The number to dial to join our conversation is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. You can also email us at cityvisions@kalw.org, post a comment at the KLW website, or tweet us at cityvisionskalw. We're joined by Jill Bork, CEO of Rush Tix, which is a curated community for performances. Johnny Hayes, a.k.a. Johnny Funcheap, Bay Area bargain guru and founder of FuncheapSF.com. Jill Robinson, travel writer and author of 100 Things to Do in San Francisco Before You Die. And Lisa Roggevin, founder and CEO of Edible Excursions, a Bay Area food tour company. Once again, 866-798-TALK or 866-798-8255. I can't quite get off of the topic of food without talking about two other areas, coffee and chocolate. Mm-hmm. Any suggestions here from the group?
That's it? You're just going to leave it like that? Nothing, Phil? You don't want us to point?
coffee, obviously, plenty of places to go, but mm-hmm. if you're trying to get someone to find a unique experience. Mm. Is there a coffee tour, for example, or what kind of places would you send people?
So chocolate would be the first place. You know, actually, one out of every 25 people I encounter at Edible Excursions doesn't like chocolate. But for most of us, if you want a delicious and educational chocolate experience, the first company that comes to mind is Dandelion Chocolate. So that this is what was a tiny little make your chocolate out of a garage company, and now continues to grow. And it's just an unbelievably wonderful organization on Valencia Street, Valencia and 18th, and in the Ferry Building as well, with a kiosk inside. But you can watch chocolate being made from bean to bar, and it's a single origin chocolate company. The only ingredients in their chocolate bars are the cacao bean and sugar, and for the most part, it's all 70% chocolate, so dark chocolate, and the chocolate tastes, every single bar tastes different because those beans come from different parts of the world.
Anyone else want to talk about chocolate?
I can talk about chocolate.
Jill Robinson.
Dandelion was on my list, too, so perfect. But it's something that not everyone knows. We're aware of Ghirardelli as being a very important San Francisco institution, but two of the oldest chocolate makers in America is Ghirardelli, as well as Guittard, both from San Francisco. Not anymore exactly, because they've had to move to, you know, their factory and stuff for space, but Ricciuti Confections, many of the confections made by Michael Ricciuti and his wife Jackie use Guittard chocolate. So that's also something that's specific to San Francisco and a different kind of chocolate experience.
And so people can go and taste, do a tasting. How does that work if you want to sort of sample some chocolates?
You can sample. I mean, they're more showroom for Ricciuti, and then for Dandelion is more the kind of tasting experience. And there's still, you know, of course, stores in San Francisco that sell Ghirardelli as well. But
mm-hmm. and Johnny?
Well, I can't talk about chocolate, but I can talk about coffee and ice cream.
Okay.
So now they haven't announced it this year yet, but coffee, Pete's actually does typically every year. They haven't announced it yet for this year, but they do free coffee on Christmas Eve. And then they encourage everybody, instead of paying for it, to donate. And each local Pete's has a box that you can donate to for a charity that specific store has chosen. And if we want to switch over to ice cream, you've heard of the Museum of Ice Cream in San Francisco. They're doing something a little bit different for the holidays. They've actually reimagined many of their rooms. This Museum of Ice Cream, if you don't know what it is sort of an Instagrammable museum experience where every room is just something deliciously beautiful. beautiful. It themed something to do with ice cream. So they're having what's called Pinkmas instead of Christmas. And they've done sort of a pink theme and hue to almost all of their rooms. And they're doing something actually kind of, I think, really fascinating. Every Thursday night in December, starting at 6:30 p.m., if you come alone, you get in for free. And the whole point of this is for people who, you know, who are just making the look, meet new friends in San Francisco, can just come in and they'll bring you in as a group and you'll have a great experience. It's 12,000 square feet. This is at Grant and Market in San Francisco. And they have a new gingerbread house, a unicorn disco, and getting to the ice cream, they have a sample of a brand new gingerbread disco ice cream flavor. So that's every Thursday in December starting at 6:30, but just make sure you come alone and ready to make new friends.
Okay, great. Well, you know, I had two C's, coffee and chocolate. I forgot the third C, cannabis. So I understand Edible Excursions also has a cannabis tour. Tell us about that, Lisa.
So cannabis is one of those conversations that I wouldn't have ever imagined I'd be having on radio. It was what I hid underneath my bed from my parents when I was 13, 14, 15 years old. And I'm just so thankful that we have come to learn that we don't need to be ashamed of choosing ways to take care of ourselves that make us feel better, that are actually good for us. So I, about 2 years ago, started doing research on cannabis as wellness. How is cannabis now something that we can use to take care of anxiety or skin conditions or you name it? So I had just thought there are a lot of people like me who felt ashamed of smoking pot or using cannabis and dropped that habit about 30 years ago. Needed to get to work and needed to stay focused. And all this stuff was happening in the industry behind the scenes that we didn't know about. And with legalization that came in the beginning of this year, the genie's out of the bottle now. So people can really dig in, and seniors are learning and moms are learning how to be better parents. And there's just so many applications for people to apply cannabis as a form of wellness. And so I try to normalize cannabis for people who just want to, you know, just to get through some of the stuff that might be challenging for them. So there are dispensaries everywhere throughout the city that we live in, the wonderful city that we live in, or around the Bay Area. So if somebody wants to be led and to be introduced and to understand what that world looks like without feeling self-conscious and without feeling ashamed, and to truly understand how to take it easy and to slowly maybe introduce this into your life as an alternative to a pharmaceutical or a prescription medication, then don't we deserve those options or those choices?
Great. So we'll reintroduce the program City Visions here on local public radio 91.7 KALW San Francisco and on the web at KALW.org. And tonight we're talking about fun, cheap, not so cheap things you can do to discover, rediscover San Francisco, show off San Francisco and the Bay Area to friends and relatives who may be visiting for the holidays. We'd love to hear from you and hear about your ideas, what makes a great tour for people, both those who are local and those who come here to spend a little bit of time with us. The number to dial to join our conversation is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. So, Jill Bork, let's move on to performances. So this is a time of year where there's some staple performances out there, you know, like A Christmas Carol or The Nutcracker. Tell us about some other performances that people might not know about and might give people a special flavor of San Francisco arts and culture.
One that I would recommend is Mittens and Mistletoe. It's a winter circus cabaret at Dance Mission Theater. It's a great sort of a combination of dance, circus, and they do it every year. It's sort of all sorts of spectacular circus feats. I think it's really fun. Think of, like, if you wrapped up New Pickles Circus and Teatro Zanzani and, you know, Cirque du Soleil, that's what you'd have. And it's very community-oriented and a great show.
Cool. And then Jill Robinson, you talk in your book about Love Tours, San Francisco Love Tours.
There is, yeah, the San Francisco Love Tour, celebrating the Summer of Love.
Say more about it.
It's actually, now I have to find it because I had something else in my head, and so now my brain is gone. But it's a bus that you get to go to throughout the city and go to the different spots that are really important for that time. And then it's a little bit of a tour and a little bit of history. And that allows you to kind of dive in and get the experience so that you, even if you weren't here during that time, didn't live through it, but you get to feel like you lived through it a little bit without maybe the really exciting party and the cannabis.
The edibles as yeah. You enter the bus.
Are there people dressed in historic dress from the time as far
not,
as the tour?
Not unless they still live in the 60s.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there's some people out there.
The bus is very groovy.
Yeah, I mean, the bus is there. It's not huge. So it's VW buses, and each of them only hold about 6 people. So it's not like you're there with a gigantic bus full of people.
Okay. So what was the other thing that you had in your mind that you were going to say?
The other thing I had in my mind was along the performance angle, something that isn't, as well known as the Nutcracker or Christmas Carol, but San Francisco Symphony, some of their holiday events aren't exactly what you would expect. They have this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Home Alone, the feature film, where the symphony is performing to the John Williams score, and then the Ragazzi Boys Chorus and Young Women's Choral Projects of San Francisco are doing the singing.
All right. We actually have an email from Linda talking about the Musée Mécanique. Johnny's head went right up there. Say more about that place. Where is it? What is it? I mean, I've heard about it, but...
Yeah, it's one of those quirky little corners of San Francisco that you would never find unless you stumbled upon it. It's at the end of, I don't know which pier it is, it's just right at the end of Fisherman's Wharf when you walk down by Fisherman's Grotto.
We're hearing Pier 45.
Pier 45, thank you. And what it is it's got, I don't know, maybe 100 different mechanical, old-timey arcade games from, I don't know, 1890s through the 1920s. You're not going to see Pac-Man in here. And they almost all work, and they take quarters. And it's like it's a museum, but it's also a game emporium. They have Laughing Sal, who was a sort of an animatronic, very creepy character in a booth that used to be at Playland at the Beach in San Francisco. And so that's there as well. So it's a really fun way to just give kids a bunch of quarters and just send them on their way and take their iPads and their, I don't know, whatever doodads they got these days and set them free to explore some really fun, old, weird mechanical games.
Great. That reminds me of what kind of advice would you give someone to if they're trying to plan for people who are coming from out of town who maybe have a lot of different tastes in what they like to do, people who are more adventurous, less adventurous, people who are older or younger? Do you try to keep everyone together? Can you find ways to kind of split everybody up and then meet up again? How would you – I imagine there's a stress to hosting as well. And what advice would you give people who have people coming in from out of town about how to kind of get through that?
I mean,
besides cannabis.
What? Well, under 21, absolutely no cannabis. But there's a shameless plug, sort of, for Edible Excursions would be, I'm just thinking about a tour that we're doing this Sunday in downtown Berkeley, our downtown Berkeley brunch tour. It's for a private group, a family. They're from Woodside in Oakland, and they're just doing something for the holidays. And they range in ages from 11 to 76 years old. And the radius is maybe 5 blocks over the course of 3 hours. People are walking maybe a block or block and a half at a time and then sitting down for 20 to 40 minutes and then getting up and moving on. So it's a leisurely pace. And if somebody needs to stay put, then we can always circle back or they can move on at their own pace.
Johnny.
I would say something that is good for all ages is there's really a lot of amazing Christmas light and holiday light experiences throughout the Bay Area. Not only like civic ones done like City Hall in San Francisco is lit up with 220 LED holiday lights. They have that going on through December 30th, red and green, with a special Kwanzaa one that's red, green, and black on the 26th, which is the first night of Kwanzaa. But also Night Bloom. This is the Conservatory of Flowers in Golden Gate Park. They have a 5-week lighting exhibition. And although there's paid tickets required to get on the inside, which are, I think, around $27, the outside glow and light show is still really spectacular, so it meets my main requirement that's free to watch from the outside. And it's still spectacular and Instagram-worthy, and that's just about every night through January 6th, except Christmas Eve and Christmas night and New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. The Circle of Lights at the Mountain View Cemetery is kind of an interesting one. This is in Piedmont, where they have a nightly light show that runs from about 4 till 9 p.m. until New Year's Day, and it's kid-friendly. You can either view the lights from outside from the car window, or the kids can actually get out and run around. When you get chance to play willingly and allowed in a cemetery, and I just went the other night to Tom and Jerry's house. This is one of the most cool lighting spectaculars of a personal house in San Francisco. This is on 21st Street in Noe Valley, and it's a couple that has a sort of a gingerbread Victorian, and they have spent an insane amount of money and time putting gigantic Christmas stockings, with one is Tom, one is Jerry, overflowing with presents, a 65-foot Christmas tree in their front yard with little mini amusement park rides in the front. You can't get, I mean, they're tiny. And it's just a really amazing that they have the time and the energy and the passion, and they bring Santa every night to do this. And many cities have ones like this, like Alameda has their Christmas Tree Lane. There's just all over the Bay Area, there's amazing light experiences that I think are great for families.
Yeah, I can't remember why I took a different route home the other night, and I just came upon some neighborhoods that, you know, where people really get into decorating. How can people find out where those streets are? Now, probably getting the neighbors upset because they'll be like, oh my God, there'll be all this extra traffic. But how do people find out about those streets?
I found for me, Yelp actually has a lot of reviews of these different houses and will tell you like which ones are good or which ones are bad this year. The resource that I actually used and I think is a great resource is called Red Tricycle. It's a website that's geared towards families, and they have a great overview of – it's not always completely up to date. There's some that they've listed that are not really doing it this year, but for a great place to start, I'd say either Yelp or Red Tricycle. The Alameda Christmas Tree Lane is great. They've been doing it since 1938, and you just stroll down the street. And the pictures I saw just look amazing. And they have tap dancing Christmas trees that are going to be making an appearance in Alameda on the 21st of December, in case that floats your boat.
Wow. Jill Bork, how about music, live music? Any particular artists coming to town or venues that particularly are usually, you know, do a good show for people?
Yes.
as you scroll through your phone,
let me get right to it. The reason I'm struggling is we have over 150 events on the site at any one time, so including about 52 music events at the moment. So let's see what we've got. A Very Merry Misfit Cabaret Holiday Special. That's a great idea. That's something that they do each year. It's at the Z Space, and it's sort of a little bit naughty. The holidays will never be the same. It's like a very fun, campy, decadent kind of experience. I'd say, let's see, we've also have some great stuff in the East Bay at the Ivy Room, Little Marvin and the Gardeners. That would be a great show coming up. Also some fun Christmas concerts here in the city. The Christmas concert with Sandra Wright Shen at the Old First Church. She's a classical pianist. So actually lots of great things. And and the fabulous Buddy Love annual Christmas show. That's a great show at the chapel. So he's the hippest of the hipsters around.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it's great to, for those of you who are listening, you can't see the sort of the crowdsourcing that's happening around this table as our event gurus are helping each other out to give you some advice on what to do. We have, is this a call or an email? Okay. So a caller who didn't actually want to be on the air, Zach from San Francisco, wanted to know about Fairland in Oakland. Do they do an adult Christmas party?
I've been to one in the past, but I don't know if they're doing it for Christmas this year. Typically, they'll do it maybe one weekend out of the year, or if there's a private buyout. So I don't know that off the top of my head.
All right. So I think we're going to look into that and get back to you. And in the meantime, let me reintroduce the program. This is City Visions on Local Public Radio, 91.7 KALW San Francisco, and on the web at KALW.org. I'm Joseph Pache, and tonight we're talking about fun things to do in San Francisco and the Bay Area during the holidays or all around the year. What's your favorite place to take friends from out of town, or what kinds of things are you planning or want to hear about when you're thinking about what to do after, you know, the big events of the holidays are over? Maybe just take a nap, I imagine. But once you're up from your nap, what would you like to do? Bring us your questions or ideas. The number to dial to join our conversation is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. You can email us at cityvisions@klw.org. Post a comment at the KLW website or tweet us at cityvisions@KALW. So, Jill Bork, I understand you're also a comedian.
Yes.
So tell us about the comedy scene and what's in store over the next few weeks.
Okay, so actually, back a while back, before Rush Ticks, I used to do an annual New Year's Eve comedy show called Not Your Normal New Year's Eve. And one of the performers that I had and co-hosted with one year was Brian Copeland. Hmm. And he's actually doing his New Year's Eve show coming up in San Leandro. So it's Brian Copeland Presents Lighten Up for New Year's Eve, an all-star comedy New Year's bash. It's got a great lineup. All these comedians are amazing. And I think that will be really fun at the San Leandro Performing Arts Center on New Year's Eve.
Great. So you're not doing comedy this year?
I'll be at home with my teenagers. It's very comedic.
And now Fun Sheep is actually, we host a monthly comedy takeovers of Cobb's Comedy Club. That's the biggest comedy club in the city. And so we host our takeovers, and that's taking place actually this Wednesday and Thursday. So if you go to Fun Sheep, normally if you just go through the Cobb's website, it's cost, I think, about $20 when you add in all the fees, evil ticketing fees. But if you come through Fun Sheep and you want to go see a comedy show, the tickets will be free. And we have comics that perform at SF Sketchfest, at Caroline's in New York, who are regulars at Cobb's and Punchline, and Chris Riggins, one of my favorite local comics, who's opened for Dave Chappelle.
Wow. All right. So let's turn a little bit towards San Francisco history. Walking tours of neighborhoods to learn the architecture and the history. Jill Robinson, anything in your 100 things to do before you die in SF?
There are a lot of walking tours. I think one
or NSF before you die.
Well, yeah, you don't. Well, you know, we always say we hope that's not soon, you know, so that you have time to do more than 100 things. But it is, there are a lot of different ways. So some people like walking tours, but they kind of like doing it themselves instead of being led around. And so if you're aware of the bronze medallions on the Barbary Coast Trail, there are about 180 bronze medallions in the city sidewalks that give people a bit of a sense of history of the gold rush and kind of the wild time where the area was called the Barbary Coast. And so that's put together by the San Francisco Museum and Historical Society. There's a brochure that goes along to allow you to kind of put the pieces together and go as long or as short as you want. It's about a 3.7-mile walking tour. Mm. But there are also groups that you can do, you know, like the edible stuff, but of course we can't. You know, it's historical. A kind of fake history is there's the whole Sam Spade history in San Francisco.
Say more.
And so there's Don Heron has led the Dashiell Hammett tour in San Francisco since 1977. And so he leads
people, he dresses the part. He leads people through the streets that Sam Spade stalked, as well as highlights that figure in some of Dashiell Hammett's history. So you get to some of the places that were very notorious, like, of course, the replica of the Maltese Falcon in John's Grill. And then on Burritt Street, near the intersection of Stockton and Bush Streets, is a plaque that marks the place where Miles Archer, Sam Spade's partner in the Maltese Falcon, was shot and killed by Bridget O'Shaughnessy.
Wow. This just in, literally, handed information about the 26th annual Kung Pao Kosher Comedy, Jewish comedy on Christmas in a Chinese restaurant. And that's from the 23rd to the 25th of December. And let's see, where is it? I saw a couple of nods here. Is it a Chinese restaurant to be determined, or is it actually...
I don't know, but I wanted to just drop in a mention for San Francisco City Guides. It's a volunteer-based organization, and it is a wonderful organization. Volunteers lead 50 different tours throughout San Francisco. I had trained to be a San Francisco City Guide about 10 years ago, and then had my first child and decided I didn't have time to volunteer for City Guide, sadly, but they, Japantown and the Ferry Building and all over the nooks and crannies of San Francisco, you probably could never finish doing all of San Francisco City Guide tours, and they're all free, but they do appreciate donations that go back to San Francisco City Guides.
And I've had a great experience with City Guides as well. And what's great is that even on Christmas Eve, they have City Guide walking tours. So if you're just fed up with your family already, you can do that. For example, on Christmas Eve, you can take a tour of the Japanese Tea Garden, Body and Naughty San Francisco, or the Embarcadero Skyway. And thinking one other thing about tours, now this doesn't come up until January, but to me it satisfies sort of winter holidays. Alcatraz actually does... 2-for-1 winter cruises during the winter, because it's a time when the tourism generally dips, so they're trying to make it more accessible for locals. So as long as you have a valid ID that's in one of the 9 Bay Area counties, starting on January 8th, every Tuesday and Wednesday, it's 2-for-1 cruises on their day tours through the end of February. So that'll save you $38. And I consider myself a local now, even though I didn't grow up here, but I think that's just one of the best tours that there is. And I every time somebody comes from out of town, I do not mind taking them to Alcatraz. I think the audio tour is fantastic.
And I got some more information about the 26th annual Kung Pao Kosher Comedy. It's at the New Asia restaurant. And if you're interested in going but not quite sure, you can tune in to David LaTulippe's open air here on KLW Thursday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And two of the performers... Joseph Nguyen and Lisa Geduldig are going to be here being interviewed by David. So some more information on where you can get some other
both great
comedy.
Comedians, by the way, perform with both of them. They're fabulous.
Cool. So we have about like 5 minutes left in the program. So what are some things we haven't talked about yet that you want to make sure that either someone who's trying to entertain others or entertain themselves through the holidays thinks about when it comes to exploring the Bay Area? We've spent a lot of time talking about San Francisco. Any parts, other parts of the Bay Area that we want to make sure to highlight, whether it's restaurants or event spaces or just, you know, hidden gems? Anyone?
I mentioned going over the bridge, leaving San Francisco and going over to that East Bay and having new food experiences. The Temescal region of Oakland is an area that's sort of like a sleepy neighborhood that actually, coincidentally, a lot of food writers happen to live in. But there are breweries, if beer is your thing. There's tap rooms and beer making happening in about 6 different locations, all within a 1-mile radius. So there's great food in Temescal and the Uptown region, where the Fox Theater and the Paramount Theater are. there are Duende Restaurant and just, again, the food scene in the East Bay, Itani Ramen, Hopscotch Restaurant. I can go on and on. There's wonderful eating over there.
So I know, Jill, your book focuses on San Francisco, but tell us about beyond San Francisco.
That's okay. I have interest that goes
good for
quite
you.
Far. One thing I want to highlight is that it's wintertime, or we're getting into wintertime, but beaches are not only for summer. And while San Francisco has many beaches, other areas in the Bay Area do too. And Half Moon Bay has wonderful beaches for people to walk, great beachside dining, as well as the Mavericks Big Wave Surf Spot, which we were getting some waves today there. There will be a contest at some point, hopefully this winter, but it doesn't matter. You can go out there anytime and really enjoy and watch the water.
And speaking of which, are there any sort of races or other types of fun outdoor activities that are happening around in this next couple of weeks, like on New Year's Day, for example?
Well, on New Year's Day, I don't know if you can call this a race, but it certainly is something that has to do with endurance. At the Union Square Ice Rink, they have their annual polar bear ice skate at 2 o'clock. So you have to pay the normal fee, of course, to get in if you want to do it and get as bare as you dare. And it's free to watch, which is I will be from the outside there.
All right. But we do have polar bears that are they at Ocean Beach?
They do it at Ocean Beach. I haven't seen if it's actually going to be scheduled again this year, but they've done it, you know, every year for mm-hmm. the past 10 years. It's right by a bar called the Riptide, which is in Ocean Beach. And everybody jumps in, goes into the ocean, takes a quick dip, and then runs back as quick as they can because they have a fireplace at the Riptide in San Francisco.
Oh, that's great.
Since I do eat a lot, I do try to exercise a little bit and to offset those calories. And today was something that was a highlight. A friend and I walked around Fort Funston, and what made me think about it was you were talking about the waves that we're hitting today. There's the ocean is angry, but anytime, any day, no matter what the weather is, just be prepared with your gear, bundle up, and walk the path of Fort Funston.
Cool. So in the last couple of minutes, here's where you get to not only plug your sites, but also just a last minute recommendation for our listeners. Why don't we start with you, Jill Bork?
All right. So I think my last recommendation is going to be Smuin's Christmas Ballet because it's fun for the whole family. Smuin's just so wonderful because they mix classical with modern. So you'll see ballet, tap, jazz, and it's just a real fun holiday experience.
And then if people want to know more about how to curate or have experiences curated for them, where would they find out more about your services?
Okay, so I've actually set up a special link which will go over the picks that I had today or tonight at rushticks.com/KALW, and you'll see a page with all of the events.
Oh, great. Thanks a lot. And how about you? Jill Robinson.
So one thing that we have in our book that a lot of locals don't know about, it is in San Francisco, is the Marrakesh Magic Theater. So Jay Alexander is a sleight of hand virtuoso, mind reading wizard, master of many astonishing tricks, and a really good comic. So we're bringing the comedy around full circle. He does shows about four nights a week at a theater near Union Square, and it's family friendly for children eight and up.
All right. And then Johnny Fun Cheap, or not actually, yeah.
That's fine. That's what people call me.
Yeah. Johnny Hayes, Johnny Fun Cheap.
I'll try to give kind of a few quick hits. Sports Basement, I don't ski. I'm terrible at it. But Sports Basement has their annual winter Tahoe ski bus, which is $75. And it's a round-trip luxury ski bus that takes you from five different locations all throughout the bay and takes you all there so you can nap on the way to Tahoe. And plus, they feed you breakfast on the way there. And then in Oakland at Jack London Square, they have the Black Santa holiday pop-up. It's this really cool sort of cartoon character, like a mascot, like you'd see at a ball game, called Black Santa. And they have a workshop there. They sell cool seasonal merchandise. And on Fridays through Sundays, you can meet Black Santa and Mrs. C. They don't call her Mrs. Claus. She's Mrs. C.
Okay, very good. We have a last Email here from Michael saying two places to take visitors in order to give them a real visual sense of the Bay Area. Top of the Headlands at Hawk Hill, which is supposedly an easy drive, plus includes going over the Golden Gate Bridge. And Grizzly Peak above Berkeley or Oakland has spectacular views of the Bay Area. And those jingle bells is David's way of telling me that we're out of time for tonight. But we'll make sure to put all of the websites that we talked about tonight on our website, klw.org. That's City Visions for 2018. I'm Joseph Pache. I want to thank my guests, Jill Burke, Johnny Hayes, Jill Robinson, and Lisa Roggevin for all your tips this evening. For links to this and other City Visions shows, to let us know what you thought about tonight's program, and to subscribe to alerts and download podcasts, visit the City Visions page at klw.org. Our engineer this evening was David LaTulipe. Tonight's show was produced by Ann Harper. We'll be off for the next couple of weeks. We'll see you in 2019. From all of us here at City Visions, happy holidays. This is Joseph Pache. Good night.